In your word that blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, Psalm 33, verse 12. So we're so very grateful we can say that you are the Lord of this nation. We thank you, Father, you've heard our prayers and you've turned now and you're healing our land. We're so grateful for being able to gather together like this, knowing that just services like this just don't happen everywhere around the world. And we keep those people, Father, that are actually still in chains and bonds for the gospel's sake right now. We keep them in prayer. We keep our brother Will in prayer. He's in Cuba right now, Father. Just wherever his feet are touching, just give him that land right now. We believe that many people be won to the kingdom of God through what our brother Will is doing down in Cuba. And just divinely protect him and his family, everybody that's traveling with him. And Father, as we partake of the word tonight, we open up your word and feed upon it and get it in our hearts and out our mouths. We're not ashamed of what you've done for us. And we want to be that vessel that the Holy Spirit can speak through and bring everything back to our memory so we can bring the answers to a lost and dying world that are just... they just need answers right now, Father. So we ask this all in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.
Amen.
Amen. And be seated, please.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I promised when I come up here that I would try to bring something that was happening in the world relevant today, what's going on, and keep it as far as current, as far as the news goes. So let's, before we go to our text this evening, which is still... going to be Romans, or still going to be Acts chapter 12. And yes, Peter is still in prison. I think he's been there so long, I think he's a trustee now. I think we've had, so we may get him out of this scene, we may not. But you know what? Look to Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. This is in light of what's happening today. What happened today, if you're not aware, we'll bring you up to speed. Verse 7 starts out with, be not deceived. In your daily prayers, other than the concerns you're bringing before God, a couple things. Just thank him for what he's done for you. And ask the Holy Spirit to minister to you daily so you're not deceived. Because deception is being turned up at a very, very great volume like we've never heard, never seen before in our lives, ever. So be not deceived. No matter what's going on, don't let any man deceive you. If it doesn't line up with God's word, and I mean put it to God's word, check it out. Be like the Marines. They search the scriptures daily. Get to be that way. And if it doesn't line up with God's word, then you got to discard it. That's all.
Right.
Amen? Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. It doesn't say maybe he'll be mocked or occasionally he's mocked. It says he is not mocked. Whatever you sow, whatever you're sowing, okay? So whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. And I think the Amplified says that and only that will he reap. You've heard it say, if you sow corn, you're going to get corn. You won't get tomatoes. If you plant, sow pepper seeds, you're going to get peppers. You're not going to get onions.
Right.
And the sowing and reaping works in the positive and it works in the negative. Amen?
Yeah.
Do you understand what I'm saying? Words are seeds. Whatever you're planting, whatever you're sowing, you're going to get this, it's going to come back to you no matter what it is. Now, you're aware of all the bombs that were sent to different government officials, right? Or past government officials, right? I've got a couple ways to look at this now. They have sowed discord. They have said, kick them while they're down. Get in their faces. Disrupt their dinners. It's the Antifa movement. The disruption, the pushing back against, which is turning out pushing back against civility is what it's doing. Children being threatened, people being threatened in restaurants. Now, that's how you can look at this. Are those bombs, those package bombs were sent, is that the sowing? Are they reaping what they've sowed? That's a possibility. Now, thank God nobody was hurt. Okay, as of yet, nobody's been hurt, so... But there's another way to look at it also. You know, this could have been done by their own people just to stir up and make everybody look like, oh my God, those evil conservatives are doing this. And I've always, you know, I think about timing. I always think about order. Think about timing. We've got an election coming up in 2 weeks. This is the timing is curious, is it not? So be not deceived. what they're ever trying to tell you. Yeah, you've got to, and they're trying to put this back on the president. And I don't remember the president ever telling anybody to go in a restaurant and disrupt somebody's meal, get in their face,
right,
or to stand and block intersections and stop you from being able to travel from one place to another,
yep,
and try to rule a city like they're doing in Portland right now. No matter where what's going on up there, that's a mess. That needs prayer. Prayer is going to change this, and it's the only thing that's going to change this. And I mean heavy-duty prayer. For he who sows to the flesh will the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary in well-doing. You know, this would be so easy to grow weary right now of everything that you're hearing. And you can't grow weary, King James says, in well-doing or doing good, as the New King James says. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart or if we do not faint. Then when you're sowing in the natural, as far as seeds go, there is a due season. There's a planting, there's a watering, there's a fertilizing, there's a more watering, and then there's time, and then the time of harvest or reaping comes. It just isn't plant the seed and then reap, plant the seed, then reap, plant the seed, then reap. I've been tithing, I've been giving, I'm not seeing anything come back. You got to keep doing it, because that's what God's word said. Sow those seeds, because the harvest is going to come. It cannot not come.
Amen.
Understand? Because it's God's word.
Amen.
He said this is what's going to happen, and we can't change it. Now, can you dig that seed up with your mouth? Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yes.
Can you disrupt the growing season? Sure. We all have. But you have to plant in faith.
Yes.
One plants, one waters. God brings the increase. That goes with the spreading of the gospel. That goes with your garden.
Amen.
Your flowers or whatever you're planting. Yeah. You know.
Sir.
So I don't know if that's these things are happening because of what was sown, the stuff that was said. It could easily be, but just stay on your toes about this.
Amen.
The other situation that has to be kept in prayer is this caravan. Caravans, I guess there's two of them now, and possibly a third one being formed. And again, the timing is curious, is it not? They're on, and it is a mob, Dean, that's right. They're on course to get here quickly. They're moving faster than anything you've ever seen. And you've got to pray for that social situation, because somebody is going to get hurt very badly, if not killed, in this situation. Because we're going to defend our borders. And, you know, no matter how we do this, it's not going to look good for the conservatives in this country, like we're evil people. But they're showing a lot of folks are coming in that caravan are coming from the Middle East. They're not coming from South America. I mean, they're coming through South America, but they're not South Americans. Most of them are young men. There are very few children. You know, they're trying to scrounge up as many pictures of baby buggies and things like that. But that situation is almost out of control. And, you know, and I look at that stuff, the illegal people coming here, and it's such an affront to my grandparents. I'm second generation born here. Both sets of my grandparents, the Italian side and the Ukrainian side, came through Ellis Island. They did it legally. You know, they learned the English language. They nobody changed any words on cans or signs. They learned the English language, and they went through. They took the tests. They stood in line. They got the vaccinations. They went through Ellis Island. They were quarantined when had to be. They had to be sponsored to come here. They had skills. They just didn't come here to take. Now the Italian folks came here. They were all hard workers, coal miners, and everything. And a lot of the uncles were into the steel mills. Some of the family still coal mines, and other folks went into different professions. My mother's side, the Ukrainian people, fled communist rule. They were living under communism. They were literally eating dirt. And I know if my grandmother saw these young people today wanting to go back to what she had to live in growing up, she'd be slapping somebody, I'm telling you. That little Ukrainian lady, she used to tell me terrible stories about what happened over there. And why would you want to go even think about it? But the young people in this country have no idea about that.
No.
Said, you know, you're getting to where you're so far away from Ellis Island, you don't even know who came through there.
Okay.
But that situation needs to be kept in prayer. Okay, that's what's happening right now in the news. It's a pretty rough situation. Let's go to Acts chapter 12 and see what's happening with our hero Peter. I know we've been doing this over the last several months, but it's not something you want to really rush through anyway. I mean, it's God's word. Where are we going? We might as well just take our time and let's get everything, let's get every ounce of nutrition out of this that we can, right?
Amen.
It's going to help us in our everyday life. And,
yes, sir.
You know, if you're just reading your Bible, you're probably not getting much out of it, but if you take the time to study it, you'd be amazed what God will open up for you if you just take the time, you know. But Peter's in jail. We know why, because Herod's violence against the church, okay? We know that's not going away. That's a spirit that hasn't changed, trying to destroy Christianity and trying to stop the gospel from going forward because it's the only thing that's helping anybody. And Satan hates it, and he hates this nation because we are the cradle of the gospel. And there are many people that have given their lives so the gospel can be continue to be preached. And you got to keep people like Will in prayer. You got to keep people that are in the mission fields in prayer because they're taking the good news to a world that absolutely is lost and dying. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So if we get down to where Peter was therefore kept in prison, and again, forgive me for not maybe giving you all the verses, the numbers, because I can't see all those little numbers, but Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God him by the church. It doesn't say anything about the church complaining about the government officials, about the taxes. It doesn't say anything like that at all, but constant prayer. It was constant prayer that got Judge Kavanaugh put into the Supreme Court. And you never convinced me different. It was constant, long time constant prayer that got Pastor Brunson out of that prison in Turkey and got him out alive. They didn't carry him out in a bag.
Amen?
All right? It was constant prayer that got you and I into this room here to attend church services on Sunday or Wednesday. Somebody prayed for us. Somebody stood for us. Somebody put up with us.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, let's not forget about it. So it's constant prayer that's going to change situations like the caravan, like the pipe bombs and things that are being sent in the mail. The last thing I want to see is anybody hurt like that. That's, I should even say that. It's not the last thing because that means it's on the list. I don't want it even on the list. I don't want it.
Right.
Anybody being hurt that way.
Amen.
And somebody says, the last thing I want to do is hurt you. Say, yeah, it was on the list.
Right.
It was the last thing that was still on your list.
Amen.
Constant, fervent prayer, whatever version you're reading. But it wasn't just a couple of prayers offered up while we're here on Wednesday evenings or Sunday mornings. It's a lifestyle of prayer. It's a constant, fervent prayer. Amen? It's something, and it's not flowery language. You know, some of my best prayer time with God is just thanking Him.
Yeah.
And Father, I just want to thank You.
Yes, sir.
You know what I need. You know what the concerns are in my life. But I just want to thank You for what You've done for me. You've blessed me with a wonderful wife. I've got children, grandkids. A business that's doing well, family that's all doing well. I mean, I'm talking about sisters and brother-in-laws, and I mean, there's a lot of stuff. I got a church family, and it's amazing. It's just talk to them. You don't have to go to the these and thous and all that stuff. There's a time when you go before Him on your face, and I mean prostrate on the floor, on your face, asking God I did that for your grandson when he was. I don't do that often, Bobby, and that's not a brag. Boy, that sounds like a brag, but it is not. But when Robbie was in that motorcycle accident, I left our family and I went home. I laid down on our living room floor, and I cried out to God for him. And I don't know, I haven't done it often. It's a few times. Did it for my dad for some of the things he went through. But that's an earnest prayer. That's a prayer now. Now you're done fooling around. This is not just I'm kneeling down and maybe one knee or maybe just stand. That's an earnest, heartfelt prayer. And I believe God honors that. I really do. And I said, if that sounds like a brag, I don't mean it to be. But, you know, I love him like my own son. And we were very, very concerned about him. And he's doing well.
Amen.
And we're praying that the wisdom of God falls on him also. Our young people do need some wisdom. Amen?
Yes.
So, and when Herod was about to bring him out that night, Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers. And the guards before the door were keeping the prison. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and the light shone in the prison, and he struck Peter on the side of that, raised him up. If you can write in your Bible, if you're not using an electronic thing like I'm using here, where it says struck Peter, just underline that because it may not be tonight, but we're going to come back to that phrase. Angel of the Lord struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise quickly, and his chains fell off his hands. There's our name, the falling chains. Well, then the angel said to him, gird yourself, tie on your sandals, and so he did. And he said to him, put on your garment and follow me. Now, when God's instructing you, be it through his word or an angel's appeared to you, you ought to follow his instructions. You really think that's a pretty good idea.
I think so.
He said, you know, put on your shoes. Why?
Yeah.
Why? I think about when the angel appeared to Mary's cousin, and He didn't really believe what was going on. He was not able to speak until until the boy was born and his tongue was loosed, because he just, you know, the angel said, this is what I want you to do. Here's what we're going to do. And he really didn't really want to go along with that plan right away.
Well.
So the angel's telling him to get dressed. He does this. And we talked about Peter's captivity. He actually had three phases. Remember chains, mm-hmm. people, guards, and walls, the prison. Now, we're going to talk about this, about the chains again, because I don't think we covered the chains enough. The type of chains, let's look to Hebrews 12. We're going to come back here. Let's go to Hebrews. I know some of this is review, but that's okay.
That's good.
Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. Amen. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. And you know what? We've heard this so many times, only because of the miracle of electronics here. I can go to the Amplified. I'm going to read this in the Amplified Classic, because it's so good in the Amplified Classic. And Dean, I'm sure you agree with me on that. Verse 1 says, therefore then, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses who have borne testimony of the truth. See, we really are witnessing of the truth. We are living witnesses of what God can do, of God's truth. Amen? Let us strip off. Now listen, let us strip off and throw aside every encumbrance, unnecessary weight. Chains have weight to them. All right? Unnecessary weight. And that sin which so readily and deftly and cleverly clings to and entangles us. And let us run with patient endurance and the steady and active persistence, the appointed course of the race that has been set before us. Do you know, have you ever watched an Olympic runner or a track and field runner, somebody that's running, they have a very smooth, even glide, the hands, you know, you could run with chains on, but you're not gonna have that smooth, right. Nice stride,
right.
And be able to run in the freedom that you should be when you've got chains on your hands or on your feet. I mean, chains, you can have them on your feet, you'll never run. So, but you can't, you'll not be able to run when your hands are chained. Looking away from all that will distract. This entire world is designed to distract you from Jesus Christ, to take you away from his word,
Amen.
To take your eyes off of him and on everything else that's going on. And if you never take the time to look up to see if he's coming back, because you're so busy looking at that stinking telephone down. And you know, at first I just said, well, okay, it's annoying now. It is absolutely annoying. You can't have a conversation with anyone because they're busy looking at the phone.
Come on.
Said, your hair is on fire.
Yeah, that's right.
I have an app for that.
Come on.
And so I come back to that. So I said, look up your redemption draws nine, because nobody's looking up.
That's right.
The sky will crack. Sky will crack. I said, I mean, there's signs falling everywhere. I had an exit sign. Seriously, during prayer, that sign fell off. And, the exit sign. I said, they usually wait till I start preaching before the exit signs start lining up. Looking away. You can do this. It wouldn't say this if you couldn't do this. It's an act of our will. Looking away from all that will distract to Jesus, who is the leader and the source of our faith, giving the first incentive of our belief, and is also its finisher, bringing it to maturity and perfection. He, for the joy of obtaining the prize that was set before him, endured the cross, despising and ignoring the shame, and is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Chains are designed to encumber you. Chains are heavy. They're a weight that's set upon you. But we're supposed to cast these off. Now look, then God has obviously given us the ability to do this, or he wouldn't say this to us. We can go back over to the New King James Version. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5. Now, if I can see this, it'll be great. It's Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. I'll go back to the New King James Version. Let's do it that way. I'm going to find this one way or another. Mm-hmm. This is now this again. I said that the chains represent the things that can come on your flesh, and the Amplified said that the stuff that deftly or cleverly clings to you. It stuff gets on you. It's so stinking sneaky. Mm-hmm. It's on you before you realize it. You know, it's on you. And, you know, and you don't stop and take time to say, well, let's evaluate, let's take a little inventory of my life, what's going on, what am I allowing into my life now that I never would have years ago that just seems to be everywhere now. It clings to you. It says, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. These are the things you're supposed to put away from you. You can cast these things off. Now, are there certain chains that are on you that you're going to need the Holy Spirit to help you get rid of? Absolutely, absolutely. And once he's done that, what were we just saying? Once you leave your baggage, leave your burden here and give it to God and go back to your seat. Don't turn on pit. Did you say, boy, pivot? Pick up the baggage and take it back with you. Don't pick those chains back up.
Yeah, that's right.
Don't pick them back up. Don't do that as an act of your will. Avoid this stuff. Amen?
Yep.
To Romans chapter 13. See if I can find this one. Okay, verses 12, it says, it's the New King James, the night is far spent and the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness. That means we can do this.
Yeah.
If this says to cast them off, that means you and I can do this. We don't have to have any help. It's a decision we can make to cast these things off.
Amen.
To cast off the works of darkness. And let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day and not in revelry and drunkenness and in lewdness and in lust and not in strife and in envy. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. Because that's what's good. That's where everything's going to try to cling to you, to your flesh.
Yep.
And the spirit man is going to do everything to fight you, but you know, that's the flesh. That's in your soul, your mind, your soul, your intellect, the flesh, your spirit, that they're all going to be at war with each other.
Yes, sir.
Unless you're getting your mind renewed to God's word. Amen. Let's look at some of the different, let's name some of these. Look to Proverbs chapter 14. Well, you know, envy is one of the biggies that can really, really hurt you. It's one of the reasons the Bible says not to compare ourselves with each other, because
right.
You'll envy what somebody else has. Why do they have that? I don't. They're looking at you saying, why you have this and I don't? You know, and it's just
that's right.
Proverbs chapter 14. I'm taking my time with this because I can. How's that? I'm not sure if this is exactly the one that I wanted to go to, but we'll see here. It says, a sound heart is life to the body. It all comes back to what's in your heart. But envy is rottenness to the bones. You hang on to that envy, and it will be rottenness to your bones in the form of arthritis or something is going to come on you with this. So that's one of the chains that you could, that's something you can just cast off, because one of the sure cures for casting that chain off of you is to rejoice with something when somebody has something. It's nice. Something great happens to them. Just rejoice with it.
That's right.
I love it. It gets me excited because I know that's how our God works. He wants to bless you, but boy, if you're going to envy because somebody else has got something, look to. There's no other than chains. There's a bad one. Is strife. Go to James chapter 3. This is a biggie. Our pastor, Pastor Bannon, has said this over the years. He's never changed this message about strife. And I know I mentioned this before, but this is such a big one. We're going to stick with it. James chapter 3. And we'll start reading with verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking, and I believe the other translations say strife in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. In other words, don't lie to yourself, saying, oh, it's all right, because it's not all right. That's what it means by lying against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish or demonic, depending on the one you're reading. For envy and strife exist. Confusion and every evil thing are there. Pastor called it a pack of rattlesnakes loose in your house, if that strife is in there. That is a chain that you, and that is something that can cast. You can cast that off. No matter what happens, the soft answer turns away the wrath. Without any wood, a fire goes out. So if you're not shoveling the coal or the wood under the strife and making it burn hotter and hotter, it'll go out. Somebody has to stop shoveling the coal and throwing the wood on the fire. Somebody has to come up with a soft answer. It's got to be you and me. It's got to be you and me. Amen. But you know what? That stuff, Bobby, and this is a confessional almost, this sneaks up on you. I literally threw two people out of my shop yesterday, and I did it before I realized how angry I got at them. And I got angry at them because I was trying to apologize to this lady because I mistook her for somebody else. The way these eyes are battling me right now, if somebody walks into my shop, they're backlit by the sun, I can't see their faces. And this woman ordered some food, and I didn't realize she left, and another lady stepped in. And wanted to, and I thought, I said, oh, I said, I already got your pizza. And she got mad at me because I told her I had already made her order. And she really got, I mean, she, and I said, listen, there's no need. I mean, she was, I said, all right, that's it. I said, you don't have to stick around here. See ya. And her other friend said, well, there's no need to be like that. I said, and you can go with her. And then they walked out, and I went, man, I hope those two weren't angels, because I sure didn't show much hospitality or entertain them. Unawares, and you know, and really said, and you're going to minister tomorrow. And I looked at Carla. I said, that was real Christian, wasn't it, Carla? I said, yeah, forgive me. I said, she said, no, I don't understand what those two problems. I said, you know, it doesn't, we didn't have to understand it. I shouldn't have acted that way. Those folks are from Michigan. I may never see them again. If God answers prayer. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. But it happened so fast. The strife happened so fast, it was on me before I could even think about it, because I was trying to apologize. And this lady was complaining about her pizza wasn't right the last time. And I said, you know, and I make more mistakes than anybody. I had given her a pizza. I was in the process of doing it, but I thought it was a different woman. So maybe God will send her back across my path. But strife is something we've got to do away with. You know, married couples got to do away with it. You know, when you've been married as long as Eleanor and I have been, you know, the strife can jump on you before you realize it's just because we've been together for so long. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, growl at each other a little bit, but that doesn't mean I stop loving her. And then I stop and I think, geez, she is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. Why am I getting mad at her? She's put up with me. They're going to canonize her. She's going to be a saint just because, you know, the crown's this big just for putting up with me for 42 years. And I know that. And I'm getting mad, and I get, what's, yeah, she knows, and I apologize, and I do apologize to you, yes, yes. No, I don't. No, yes, I do. Another one that comes on you pretty fast and can sneak up on you, another chain and that you can control. I'm talking about things you can control now. This is not something somebody else is putting on you. Look to Ephesians chapter 4. This is great about family.
Yep.
You know, this is just every, you know, Joyce Meyer calls it everyday living. This is everyday living.
Yep.
And if you don't think this stuff is practical, and this is here to help you. It's helping me. So, you know, it's just, this is what we have to deal with because we're in this flesh. Ephesians. Chapter 4. Let's jump down to verse 26. It says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. We were forgiven that gigantic debt.
Yeah.
That gigantic,
amen.
Gigantic debt.
Amen.
And we're trying to find a splinter in our brother's eyes. We got this beam in our eye.
Come on, brother.
God relieved that. You think that jackpot was big? He relieved if his debt was bigger than that, and we're gonna be mad at somebody over $5. Come on,
right?
Come on,
right?
But these are things that you can control. These are chains that you can cast off of you. You don't have to have these things. Now, the Bible says to live at peace. As far as it lies within your realm, live at peace with all men. That's all you. As long as you can live at peace. That's not saying they're gonna live at peace with you. You can't control what they're doing. The chain that's trying to cast that thing off, and God will deal with the other part of it.
Amen.
If you make that effort, because he says he'll even make your enemies be at peace with you. I believe that, Bobby. I believe that with all my heart.
Amen.
If you've got a tough employer you're working for, somebody that's miserable to be around, just give them to God and things will change. We've seen it change in Jenna's life. Some of the things she's gone through down at that school. And I still pray for every day that she's going to be in charge of that whole department.
Yeah.
I believe it.
Yeah.
You know, she's got a friend she prays to tell me every day now, and that's going to change things for her.
Yeah.
That's just going to change things for her.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of the ones I always like because I was actually raised in amongst this. Look at Colossians chapter 2. Being in an Italian family, we had many traditions.
Yeah.
A lot of traditions. We're Doc, what do you think? You know what one of the big traditions were? I'll never forget when I asked Eleanor to marry me and we were engaged. And the proper thing to do back then was to go introduce the young lady you were marrying or the man you were marrying. And you did it in the order because of the respect of the oldest to the youngest. To house to house. Now, everybody was in the immediate area. We did that. And we went in from house to house and said, Uncle Teddy, Aunt Florence, and Grandma Vish. First, she went to Grandma Vish, said, we're going to get married. Grandpa was gone. And that was a tradition. We did that. And Eleanor, because she was not Italian, she was the only one of anybody that married into the family that Grandma Vish actually liked because being that they lived out on a farm, she would take Grandma out there so she could pick, we called her weeds. Because if you were raised Italian, and I mean the dandelions and the pulpberry, when it was a shoot, when it's first green, is absolutely delicious. And the flower that's the thistle plant, it almost looks like a rhubarb, but it's a smaller version of rhubarb. She would pick those, and the farm was filled with those things. And Eleanor took her out there, and that was it. Eleanor was in. She was in.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when Grandma was done teaching you what you could eat, you could be lost in the woods for a year and actually gain weight.
That's
if
right.
You paid attention to what Grandma taught you how to eat. But that was a tradition. We went around. Remember, Eleanor? We went around and introduced, and that said this was going to happen. You know, and if Grandma didn't like you, you got a kapow across the side of the head because that's just how she was. A little Italian lady had a right cross that you'd never see coming.
That's right.
She raised 14 kids. I'm going to mess with her, right? So anyway, Some traditions are okay. Some traditions will absolutely stop you. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the traditions of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. See, there are certain traditions. You know, if was past you say if grandma said it and that was good enough, you had to buy it. You had to go along with it. Grandma taught it, you bought it. Amen? And it just absolutely, you know, the way we were raised going to church, there were so many traditions. You never ever got to the Word of God. There were too many rules, regulations, and traditions that stopped you from that. And you know what I'm talking about. Not all of them were bad, but traditions, according, let's go to Matthew chapter 15. We'll go to the authority on tradition. Matthew chapter 15. Let's start with verse 4. And this is Jesus speaking, so this is, you know. For God commanded, saying, honor your father and your mother. And it doesn't say you ever get to stop, no matter how young or old you are. Those of you that are fortunate enough to still have your mothers and fathers, honor them and cherish them. Because let me tell you something, it's no fun when they're not here. It's just not any fun. He who curses father or mother, let him be put to... Jesus isn't very compassionate. I just threw two people out of my shop, but I didn't say be put to death. I didn't call fire down on them. Let them be put to death. But you say, whoever says to his father and mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift of God. There's some arrogance. There's some arrogance.
Right.
Kids talk to their parents that way. That he need not honor his father or his mother. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. Hypocrites.
Yeah, here we go.
Well did Isaiah prophesy about you. He said, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me.
Yeah.
Man, that's the last thing you ever want to hear Jesus say to you.
Amen.
Away from me, I never knew you. Lord, Lord, did we not cast out demons? Did we not, Lord, 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 Lord? And he says, I never knew you. Because it was all lip service. Nothing came from the heart. Amen?
Amen.
People didn't realize what they have.
Right.
So the traditions of man can make the word of God of none effect in your life, the power of God in your life of none effect. But those are chains that we can cast off. These are things that we do not, and once they're cast off, let's not pick them back up.
Yeah.
Let's not let that weight so easily beset us and deathly cling to us, as Amplified says, so we can run our race. Because this is a marathon. This isn't a sprint. Because even a sprinter couldn't run very fast with chains on him.
Yeah.
So the next part of Peter's captivity after the chains were the people. The guards represent people in your life. And I said this last time we were together. He was chained to the guards. Now, when the angel appears to them, the chains fall off, they fall off of Peter's hands. He is no longer chained to those guards. He's no longer encumbered with chains, although you can function with chains. I've said that. I'm not saying, but it wouldn't be God's best. So you can actually function with these chains that you're supposed to cast off. You can actually function in life, but it will not be God's best. But the chains that fell off and separated him from the guards, that's a type and shadow of there are some things you may just have to sever in your life. There are some relationships that you may have to sever in your life. Because these people will try to put those chains back on you.
Yeah.
Supposedly friends, supposedly acquaintances, supposedly workers will do everything they can. I mean, they'll run behind you picking them chains up. What's wrong with you? You dropping these chains, man. And put these chains back on you and help you out. But this is what... So there are some... You have to take inventory of your own life. We're not here to tell you who you are friends with and who you aren't. But, you know, but to go and hang out in a bar because, well, I'm going to get my friends saved. And boy, that sounds noble. But the chances of you pulling them up or them pulling you down with gravity and everything else in their favor. You know, you'd do better saying, you know what, guys, I love you. But I just can't do that. And maybe we can go somewhere and have something, maybe some coffee or something, chit chat. But I just can't do that. You know, I love you. And then you take your stand. Now somebody's going to say, you know what?
Maybe this just isn't Sunday morning for him. Maybe this is actually the lifestyle is the change. And the true friends, if you can find one, you may have one in your life, maybe two. Hopefully your spouse is one of them. Maybe two or three in your entire life ever, your pastor. You know, I can honestly say Pastor Bannon's not only my friend, but he's also my spiritual father. He can rebuke me and straighten me out anytime he wants to. And you know what? And I'll grow by that. Mm-hmm. Just that simple. And I'm glad over the years, over the 34 years that I've known him, I'm able to say that. I really truly mean that from the heart. But let's look at some of the, if you look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. I've given the scripture to a lot of people in our shop in the last year or so. King James Version's subtitle above it says, Perilous Times and Perilous Men. And you probably, most of you in this room probably can quote this scripture. But this is an eye-opener, and if you don't think this is as accurate as today's newspaper, then you don't understand what God's Word was saying. But know this, and it says, you don't have to guess about it. This is not a hope-so, maybe-so. Know this. This is a fact, that in the last days, perilous times will come. Well, here we go. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. You've heard me say about the Ten Commandments, right? People say, I know, I live by the Ten Commandments. You can't get past the first two, most of you. And I don't mean you in this room, but most of the people I talk to, you know, by loving the Lord with God with all your strength, all your soul, and mind, and your neighbor. But right in the middle of the Ten Commandments is to honor your parents. You know, all the biggies, the killing, the stealing, the covetousness, the adultery, are all in the lower part of the list. But right in the middle of the list is to honor your mother and your father.
Right.
God puts a high priority, high premium on the family.
Right.
All the man's relationship to God are the first four commandments, and then the fifth one is to honor your mother and your father.
Mm-hmm.
So where does that fall with, oh, you're a stay-at-home mother? Exactly right.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm raising my children as God wanted me to do. And my husband and I are doing it as a team. If you're fortunate enough to be married, not a single parent, single parents have their hands full. But amen?
Amen.
But that is so how important that is. Disobedient to parents. Here comes another, I always love the order, unthankfulness. Unthankfulness leads to unholiness, unloving, unforgiving. Boy, unforgiveness, we're going to talk about that here in a little bit, maybe tonight, maybe not. Slanderers. Boy, do you hear enough slander going on right now? Without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasures rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people, turn away. It's not even an option. It tells you to turn away. There are some people you just can't associate with now. Now that the light has come into your life, now that you can see exactly what's going on, that's just how it is. You're in 2 Timothy, look to chapter 4, we'll jump over one chapter. Some of the people, the reason I say this to you is because, look what happened here, it says, verse 14 says, Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. You also must beware of him. For he has greatly resisted our words. Remember I told you when I first got saved, I had a lot of family members, a lot of friends greatly resisted the words that I was trying to tell them. That's a spirit that does that.
Right.
That operates through people. That's the only way that spirit can operate, is through people. And they will try to resist what you're learning here, what you're learning from reading your Bible. They'll do everything they can to resist it, to stop you from going forward with God. That's just how the enemy works. And I'm not saying those people are evil people. They're a tool that's being used of the devil. They don't even know it. Most of them don't even know it because they don't have the light. They're not saved.
That's right.
But you are sharp enough to know this. It says, in my first offense, someone stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them. So you may be standing by yourself, but actually you won't be standing by yourself because the Holy Spirit will be standing there with
Amen.
You. Amen?
Amen.
That's your answer. Galatians chapter 5. And maybe we'll wrap it up with Galatians chapter 5. And then next time we get together, we're going to talk about the walls.
Galatians chapter 5. Start with verse 7. Let's talk. We're going back to the race. It says, you ran well. You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion does not come from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. Which you understand what I was talking about. Some of these friends and some of these people will do their best. They'll put just that little bit of poison. The Bible hates leaven because leaven's a lie. You understand what that means? Why they use the word leaven? We did this for the class, for the kids once. We took some dough, well, I used the pizza shop, and we put yeast in it, which is the leaven. And we put and didn't put it in the other. And it, boy, inside of 20 minutes, the one tube was grown. But this was the honest size. It was, they both weighed the same. They were both the same measurement exactly. But this one looked so much bigger. It was lying to you. It was not. Don't walk into a pizza shop or any place else and be impressed by the size of the wedge of pizza or the hunk of bread they're giving you because they leavened it.
Yeah.
And all it is there and it looks gigantic, but your stomach doesn't know anything about size. It knows weight. It only knows, your stomach only knows the weight of things. You've heard the story. What weighs more, a ton of feathers or a ton of mud? And where, well, a ton of mud weighs more. So no, a ton of mud and a ton of feather weigh exactly the same. They weigh a ton. But one is bigger, gigantic in volume, and the other one isn't. So this is why, because just a little bit of lying, just a little bit of leaven. Leaven's the entire, it doesn't take, for me to take 30, 40 pounds of bread dough, it doesn't take about 6 ounces of yeast.
Right.
It's almost, you almost can't see it. Then as the yeast starts to ferment and it starts to produce its CO2, the gas expands and starts pushing against all the rest of the dough and expands it. And that's how it grows. That's what makes dough. That's why God was so against it, because it doesn't matter. If I go up to Breadworks and buy bread rolls for our sandwiches, the rolls, they're scaled. They weigh exactly the same. And some of them are a little bigger. Some of them are a little thinner. Some are a little thicker. It just depends on how the yeast fermented that day. But they all weighed exactly the same. But the leaven will deceive you. A little, and it just takes a little bit of. That's how dangerous it is. I have confidence in you and in the Lord that you will have no other mind. Excuse me. You'll have no other mind, but he who troubles you shall bear his judgment, whoever he is. So who's ever giving you the trouble, who's ever giving you the problems, they're going to answer what they're doing for you. Whether it's family members or people that work with you, neighbors, or whoever make fun of you going to church again. There's that holy roller, all the names, you know, all that horrible persecution we have to put up with. There's no droplets of blood coming out of our heads yet.
That's right.
I mean, we really haven't resisted unto blood. What's the big deal?
That's right.
You know, people want to slander you and say things
That's
about
right.
you. At your answer, Jesus will be standing beside you.
That's right.
Because the accuser of the brethren is doing that day and night.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus ever lives to make intercession for you and me. Amen. That's what
that's
what he's doing. So what we're going to do, we're going to leave this here for right now. And I said some of the people in your life will do their very best to pick those chains up and help them put them back on your hands.
Yes, they will.
Don't let it happen.
Amen.
Okay, Bible says to be wise as serpents. You understand what that means? Serpent never leaves himself open for attack.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you know that or not. But a snake will not ever, ever knowingly leave himself open for attack. That's what that means. Doesn't mean to be a serpent, obviously, and be as harmless as doves, but you have to be as wise. So people are attacking you. Don't be evil. Don't be ignorant of the devil's devices. We know how he works. Amen?
Amen?
So those are the people that can hurt you. Now, next time we get together, we're going to talk about the walls, the actual prison itself.
Amen.
How some walls are good, how some walls are not very good.
Amen?
Amen?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I hope we're getting something out of this stuff.
Yeah.
Have a great evening. Father, we thank you that we were able to gather together this night. We ask for safe traveling mercies as we go our separate ways, that the angels will be encamped about us. And Father, we ask you right now as a group, a corporate prayer right now, we ask, as a group of prayer warriors, for the Holy Spirit's calming and peaceful hands to be on the situation that's taking place on our southern border right now, for these caravans and these people that are trying to come into this nation. Father, we know that they're not all righteous people, or they would be coming in the right way. So we just ask that your hands be on it. We don't want to see any loss of life. We don't want to see any of our government officials. It doesn't matter. We don't worry about parties or genders. We don't care about that. We don't want to see anybody hurt with any kind of devices, pipe bombs or whatever. Holy Spirit, reveal all that stuff to the officials so they can stop before it gets started. And we call on you to do this, to watch over our nation, so we can continue to be strong and free in the cradle of the gospel for the entire world. And Father, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.